As most of you men know, our spiritual leader at Huddle, and has been for the last 4 years, is Jim Jacobs. Most of you also know that Jim's been working through some severe, serious physical challenges. In fact, Jim would love to have been here today, but he just can't be here. If I understand correctly, he's en route home from the hospital. We want to honor Jim this afternoon, and Jim will hear this recording and possibly even this evening. So, Jim, I want you to know there are about 160 men in the YMCA small gym this afternoon that want to honor you, want to thank you, want to give credit to whom credit is due for your spiritual leadership, the way you've guided the huddle, the way you've given of yourself tirelessly and unselfishly. And as a token of that appreciation, we want to give you a plaque that is entitled Wisdom. It says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there are several other proverbs here. As you men know, we've been studying the book of Proverbs for the past 9 months. So, Jim, we honor you this afternoon. We wish you could be here. And there's a slogan that goes something like this. This bud's for you. Jim, this plaque is for you.
Good afternoon. Some of you are probably wondering what I'm doing up here. I've been out there for about a year and a half since I first moved to Kokomo and was invited to come to the huddle. And I sit at your tables, I move around a lot, and I don't say a word whenever I sit there at your table. I'm a pastor here in town, and whenever I come here, probably like the other pastors, I come here just like all of you. I come here to experience the Holy Spirit, which is here before we get here and is glorified while we're here. And that's why I come. And so I don't come to answer all the questions at the tables or pretend to have all the answers. So I just sit there quietly. But then I was asked to stand up here and talk to you. And that's what I want to do. But I just want to say that it's an honor to be here, to be able to speak to you, especially to be able to do the last one. Now, when I signed up for this, I looked at the schedule, and I saw there was another Wednesday in May, and I thought, well, I'll take the second of the last one. No one wants to do the last one. Well, here I am. But there's nothing new today that I'm going to present to you. This goes all the way back to the very beginning and when Jim started the Proverbs and teaching on the Proverbs, and I'll speak to that here in a minute, but I'm not going to say anything new today. I just want to share to you what God has put on my heart as we conclude this study in the book of Proverbs. Men, did you know that everyone is a believer? And I mean everyone is a believer. This argument that Rob Bell puts forward in his book Velvet Elvis, which I commend to you, which is going to say better what I'm going to try to say today and much more clearly than what I'm going to express it to you today. But this is the argument at the very beginning of his book, that everyone is a believer. Now, some people claim that they don't have faith. And there's this idea out there which puts forward that some people have faith and that others don't. It's a popular idea, but it is a completely false idea because everybody is following somebody. Now, often what happens is that people with specific beliefs about God, they kind of get backed into the corner at defending their faith against what's supposed to be the calm, cool rationality of others, as if these people have faith because they believe in God and these people don't have faith. But again, that simply isn't true. Now, some people believe. Some people believe that there is a creator who has plans and purposes for his creation. Others believe that there is no greater meaning to life. There's no grand design. But we exist not because of a creator or divine intention, but because of random chance. Man, a discussion between this group and this group is not a discussion between people who don't have faith. Both perspectives are faith perspectives built on systems of beliefs. I mean, the person who says that we're just here by chance, that life has no greater meaning, has just as much faith as the person who says, yes, we do have meaning. Yes, there is a plan, there is a purpose, because God has placed us here. In fact, that person may have more faith. In the last 10 to 15 years, there's been a rise of very vocal atheists. Some of you may be familiar with this movement. These are people who are aggressively coming against a belief in God. I mean, they're more than just atheists, people who don't believe in God. They're anti-theists. I mean, these are people who are adamantly opposed to religion, particularly the Christian religion. These atheists are writing very popular, best-selling, New York Times best-selling books, and they're influencing a lot of people, particularly young people. Due in part to this movement, atheism is on the rise. And these atheists, they represent a wisdom and a learning of the world that claims to have it all figured out, that everything fits into this little, narrow, naturalistic box. Now, I've read through these books. I've read over 1,000 pages of these best-selling books by Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and Christopher Hitchens. I've read Darwin. I've done all that. Men, these new books, it's often petty and trite and shallow, and it is quite offensive to us and to the family of God. I mean, I thought about bringing one of those books, reading you some of those quotes, but they are so hostile, they are so venomous, that I just don't think it would be beneficial to the kingdom of God to do that. But let me say this. There is much about their critique of religion with which I agree. On many points, they expose the harm and the dangers and the evils of religion, particularly the Christian religion. Now again, not all, but really most of what they have to say about the hurt caused by religion, I say amen to that. But I think that we can all agree that the kingdom of God, it's not about a religion. Jesus didn't come to give us another religion. In fact, sometimes religion can be a barrier to the truth and the beauty of the kingdom of God. So if these atheists, if they're going to dismantle religion on this matter, they have my full support. Now, I'll even say that there's part of their atheism that I agree with. Now, I know what some of you are thinking about that liberal mainline pastor from that big downtown steeple Methodist church. Of course, he agrees with the atheists. But hear me out on this. As I read these books, the picture of God that they reject is a picture of God that I think we all would reject. They offer a very strong, a somewhat valid critique of a picture of God in which God is meticulously in control of everything that happens, and therefore God is behind all the evil, all the tragedy. God is behind all the horrors of this world. So amen to critiquing that picture of God, because if that was the only picture of God, if that was the only God that I had to believe in, I would have trouble believing in God. But fortunately, the God that I believe in, the God that I follow, is the God that's revealed in Jesus Christ. And so there are some things that they say that I agree with. But don't miss this part. Because there is much of what they say that I completely and adamantly disagree with. I mean, they are so arrogant. They are just completely convinced that they've got the whole world figured out. And again, not all atheists, not all agnostics are this way. Some people are functional agnostics, functional atheists. We probably have some of those in our churches, to be honest. Some atheists, you know, are humanitarian and they do nice things. But this kind of atheist, they are just completely convinced that they have got the whole world figured out. I mean, they are just completely convinced that everything can be explained by science. Look, I thank God for science and the technology the science has given us. I mean, we use it all the time, every day. Probably every minute some of us use some type of technology the science has brought our way. A lot of it's wonderful and good and does a lot of things. But there are these atheists who are absolutely convinced that science tells the whole story. And this is where these faithful atheists put their faith. They are so convinced that there is no God, that everything exists in nature, is physical and material in nature. They are so convinced that human beings are just the chance product of natural laws of cause and effect. They are so convinced that the natural selection and evolutionary theory explains everything all by itself. They are so arrogantly confident in that. They are so wise and learned of the things of this world that everything fits in their little narrow naturalistic box, that there's much about the world that they cannot see. Their theological presuppositions prevent them from seeing the hidden and the deeper realities beyond the one reality that they have settled to see. And I want to come back and address that in a little bit. But again, I want to take us back to where I started this afternoon just a little bit ago. We are all believers. The debate that takes place, it's not a debate over between believers and non-believers. We are all believers. We all have faith. An atheist is a person of tremendous faith. The real question isn't whether we have faith or we don't have faith, but rather what have we put our faith in? Faith in what? Look, everybody follows somebody. All of the decisions that we make every day about what is important, about how to treat people, about what to do with our lives. These are decisions that are influenced by what we believe about every aspect of our existence. Men, all of us got our beliefs from somebody, someplace, somewhere. We've been formed by this complicated mix of people and places and things, parents and teachers and mentors and artists and scientists and the media and so much more. We're all taking all of these influences and we're living our lives based on which teachings that we've made our own. As an important side note to that, we should take note of which teachings that we are modeling to those around us. Our neighbors and our co-workers and our brothers and sisters in Christ, our wives and our children. Look, since everybody is influenced and everybody is following someone, who's watching you? And what are they learning? And who are you following as they follow after you? Again, I want to get back to my point again. Look, some people insist that they aren't influenced by any person, that they aren't influenced by any religion, that they think for themselves. But the problem with that is that they got that idea from somebody somewhere. Even if they insist that it is themselves that they're following, they are still following somebody. You see, we are all believers. Think about a word that is often used in this debate, the word open-minded. Now, often what happens is that the person with any kind of spiritual conviction, a conviction about God, is described as being closed-minded, while others are supposed to be gloriously open-minded. I mean, to be completely open-minded is to be unable or at least unwilling to discover the truth about God. And so religion kind of gets relegated to a matter of individual taste rather than objective, true reality. It's kind of like our taste in clothes or the colors of our houses. There's no right and wrong to it. It's just a matter of your personal taste. I mean, if you like Hinduism as opposed to Buddhism, it's kind of like preferring a Big Mac over Chicken McNuggets. And if there is no God, well, He'll understand, right? I mean, everybody was just trying to reach Him in different ways. It shouldn't really make any difference as long as you're sincere. Brothers, have you ever noticed that God is not as politically correct as we are? God isn't as tolerant as we are. God isn't interested in open-mindedness. God is interested in repentance and transformation. God, the quote-unquote God of the Buddhists, the God of the Muslims, the God of the Hindus, that's not the same God that we worship and believe in. The one true God is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You cannot just dismiss Jesus and just worship the Father. That's the tricky part of the Trinity. Our God is Trinitarian, a tritheism within a monotheism. The quote-unquote God of the Muslims, the Hindus, and others is not, and therefore, not the same God. to be politically correct and open-minded is to say that no one has the right to tell someone else that what they believe is wrong. It's just not nice to do that. But what Scripture declares is that it's not nice not to tell people that they are wrong, because one day Jesus will return. One day Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. And if people don't recognize that what they believe is wrong, the consequences can be deadly. You see, we can't be completely and liberally open-minded and tolerant when it comes to God. I mean, people a lot smarter than all of us should have figured that out by now. In just about every other serious field of knowledge, broad-mindedness, open-mindedness is not allowed. There's no room for broad-mindedness in the chemical laboratory. Water is H2O. It's two parts hydrogen. It's one part oxygen. The slightest deviation from that formula, it's just not allowed. There's no room for open-mindedness when it comes to music. The skilled director will not permit his first violin to play even so much as a half note off from what is written in the music, not even if they're good people. There's no room for open-mindedness in the mathematics classroom. Neither geometry or trigonometry or calculus, I hate all those, but none of them are allowed to have any kind of variation of exact accuracy. That's why I hate it. I mean, they're not allowed to deviate from that, not even for old time's sake. I mean, the solution to the problem, it's either right or wrong. There's no tolerance allowed. There's no room for open-mindedness in biology. If scientists are investigating a theory and one result in a thousand is different from the rest, it will invalidate the entire theory. There's no room for broad-mindedness on the athletic field. The game is to be played according to the rules, with no favor shown to them, again, just because they're really nice people. There's no room for broad-mindedness in the garage. The mechanic says that the piston rings have to fit the cylinder within 1/1000th of an inch, and that's just the way it has to be. I mean, even between friends, there cannot be any variation if the motor is to run smoothly. Look, every other serious field of knowledge refuses to allow for tolerance of truth. And here in the Proverbs, the Scripture says it's the same with God. The proverbial truth is this, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, every word of God is flawless. It is flawless. Look, everyone is a believer, but me, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. As a Christian, I'm not trying to just follow anybody. I'm following the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm trying to live my life in a different kind of way that Jesus taught was possible. I mean, I believe that the way of Jesus Christ is the best way to live life, because I believe that the Word of God is true and it is flawless. I believe that being generous is a better way to live. I believe that forgiving people and not hanging on to grudges, that's a better way to live. I believe that seeking peace in every possible situation, that is a better way to live. I believe that listening to the wisdom of others is a better way to live. I believe that being honest is a better way to live. Look, I have a passion for Jesus. I have a compassion for people. And I believe with all of my being that that is a better way to live. Everybody is following somebody, and I'm trying to follow Jesus Christ. Now, the one thing that has gotten Christianity into trouble throughout the ages has been we have to say something different. Christians have to say, well, yes, it does make a difference what you believe. When we get into disagreements between people who follow Jesus and people who are following something or somebody else, Christians have to say, stop, wait a minute. There are central beliefs to our Christian faith as kept throughout the ages in our Scripture, as passed on to us in the ancient creeds of the church. These beliefs that are proposed in like the Apostles' Creed, they're beyond our twisting and our spinning. The Scripture is truth, and every word of God is flawless. Again, the first year of this huddle, way back in September of last year, our friend who we recognize this afternoon, Jim Jacobs, addressed the difference between wisdom and foolishness. Others throughout this year have brought up the exact same topic, the difference between wisdom and foolishness. John, a few weeks back, brought up again the passage from Psalm 14 that says, "A fool says in his heart that there is no God." Gentlemen, if there's any truth, that is truth. And the fact of the matter is this, God has created a world with more than one reality. What we know that others don't, what we believe that others deny, is that there is a spiritual reality. We believe what we believe and we know what we believe. I mean, we know that there's a natural reality in this world, but there is also a spiritual reality, if you will, a supernatural reality. Jesus in Luke chapter 10 prayed to his Father, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden certain spiritual realities from the wise and learned." I mean, let's be honest, men. A lot of us can look at a piece of famous, beautiful, this work of art, and we can look at it, we see it as an object of vision. But many of us, as uncultured as we are, we don't have an appreciation for its beauty and its excellence. I mean, others, again, might see a complex math equation, and it has a lot of meaning for them, but for a lot of us, it might not have any meaning. Dogs and cats, they might see the exact same beautiful sunset or some other natural phenomena that we see, but they are blind to the artistic beauty of it. Some of us may listen to rap music. Others of us may have no appreciation for the art form. Some of you may like country music, but me, I can't wrap my mind around that. It's the same. It's the same way when the supernatural reality of God's kingdom confronts the hard, fast reality of the foolishness of those who are following something or someone else. They have a wisdom and a learning about the natural world and the way it should operate, and their view has no room for the supernatural. They are confident that everything about the world and all the way it operates fits into their small, narrow, naturalistic box. Look, you can't reduce something like love down to chemical collusions in the brain. You can't reduce spiritual experience down to chance natural processes. If you look at the world with your eyes open, you can see that there is a natural reality. There are laws of physics. I'm not trying to deny that. But the human experience of love and moral truth and spiritual beauties, they cannot be reduced down to neurological transactions in the brain. Relationships, in fact, are contrary to natural selection. I don't want to go too far down that trail. But carrying out the mission of Jesus Christ to welcome the stranger, to care for the needy, it in fact flies in the face of natural selection. I'm on the board of directors for Nesting Doves, and I'm not here to push Nesting Doves on you, but I hope you recognize Nesting Doves for what it is and the important ministry that it offers. Nesting Doves is an organization that takes in and supports young, unwed, pregnant mothers. And right now there are 3 girls in the house, 2 babies, 1 born just last week. It's an important ministry for those of us who believe in the sanctity of life. They take in these girls whose only other option, in their minds at least, is to kill that unborn baby. They take them in, they pray for them, they pay for the pregnancies, they pay for the birth, they take them to the doctor's appointments, they help them continue their education, getting their GED or the college degrees. Nesting Doves lets them stay 6 months after the baby's born. They're giving parenting skills and life training. They're required to go to church every week. Friends, men of atheistic faith, that extreme atheistic faith that is becoming more and more common, like Dawkins and Hitchens and Harris and Darwin, they would all say that such care, such love for people like that, it is a scientific misfiring. Natural selection tells us that we should just forget about them. We should kill those babies because it's survival of the fittest. They are a burden to society. They are useless to the best the world that we can produce using our own devices. They would say that it is counterproductive to care for these mothers and for their babies. Our churches work together to support lots of important ministries to feed the hungry like Kokomo Urban Outreach, or shelter the homeless like the Rescue Mission, or provide for the basic needs of the needy like CAM, to reach out to confused students who feel pressures that we probably don't feel and didn't feel when we were in school like Bridges. The believers and the faithful atheists would compare people in these situations to mosquitoes and dung flies. Survival of the fittest says these folks have evolved themselves into the situation that they find themselves in, and they should be pushed aside, they should be forgotten, they should be eliminated and not carry on. It is counterproductive to society to help them. And that's when we Christians, we followers of Jesus, stand up and we say, yeah. It is counterintuitive to help the helpless, to reach out to the last and the little and the least and the lost. But even if it seems irrational to you, I don't follow you. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. Jesus says that He loves the whole world and that all the world can have the abundant life through Him. Look, everybody is a believer. Everybody is following somebody. But for me, hopefully for us, we are following Jesus Christ. And that makes a world of difference. Let's pray. Holy God, You are the one true God. There are no other true gods. As the Proverbs teach, Your word is flawless, Your word is true, it is wise to follow You, it is foolish to not believe. So Lord, forgive us when we make gods of everything else but You, when we follow everyone else but You, even if we think that we're just following ourselves. Lord, this summer, help us to live lives that are aware of Your supernatural reality at work. Send Your Spirit to be in us. Work through us to do those things which the world calls foolish. Empower us to be Your hands, Your feet, Your voice to a desperate and needy world. Help us to be a walking, talking invitation to the abundant life that's offered to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank You for Jesus Christ and all that He has done and continues to do for us. It is in His matchless name we pray. Amen.